Order this hearing of the Minnesota Senate Tax Committee on Thursday, March 16th. First order of business is to adopt the minutes from March 15th. The minutes are in your packets. Are there any corrections? Seeing none, the amendments are approved as presented. Yesterday, members, we neglected to make a statement about the two bills that were before us, so I'm going to do that this morning. Senate File 1004 is laid over for inclusion in the omnibus bill. Senate File 1340 similarly is laid over for consideration in the omnibus bill. This morning we have Senate File 1466, Senator Morrison. Welcome to the committee.
Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, members, thank you for hearing Senate File 1466, which is a bill to provide a sales tax exemption for construction materials for public projects in the city of Wayzata. The projects are delineated in the bill language, and Madam Chair, I do have the mayor of Wayzata and the community development director, as well as the Wayzata city manager, is here also to answer questions, but they have brief testimony to share.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Joanna Mouton, mayor of the city of Wayzata. Thank you, Madam Chair and Senator Morrison, for the opportunity to speak to you today. Panaway is the community's vision to restore, protect, and enhance public access to one of the most treasured assets of our community and the broader region, Lake Minnetonka. Panaway grew out of the work of the Lake Effect Initiative, which solicited input from thousands of people for nearly a decade. And it has created a lasting and meaningful public connection to Lake Minnetonka for the entire region to enjoy. Our relatively small community of 4,400 residents has been envisioning safe, year-round access to the lakefront for many decades. The state's support of this transformational project is very important to us. Thank you so much, Madam Chair, Senator Morrison, and committee members for your time today. I'm joined today by Director Emily Gellner, who has prepared a brief description of the city's request.
Welcome to the committee, if you'd identify yourself.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Emily Gellner. I'm the Community Development Director for the City of Wayzata. The city is requesting a sales tax exemption for materials and supplies for all phases of Panaway and Wayzata Bay. The materials and supplies for all phases total $16.6 million. The city has funded and completed phase one of Panaway in 2020 by reconstructing Lake Street and replacing a lakeside parking lot with a beautiful public plaza. It has been incredibly successful. We are hopeful that construction will commence on phase two this year, which includes approximately 1,500 linear feet of boardwalk spanning along the lakeshore in downtown Wayzata near new community docks open to the public. The final phase three, includes accessibility improvements and new public restrooms at the park surrounding the historic train depot and charter boat docks, both of which attract visitors from throughout the region. It includes restoration of the old railroad foreman's house, which will transform the house into a learning center. The house will be surrounded by a new eco park, showcasing lake habitat restoration techniques and STEM learning programs. We're proud to have two structures within this project on the National Register of Historic Places. Given the small size of the city compared to the significant regional draw of this project, the city is requesting that all phases of the project be exempt from sales tax on materials and supplies. So in closing, Chair and members, this funding would create access to Lake Minnetonka for all Minnesotans to enjoy. You won't have to live on the lake to enjoy the lake. I believe you have a one-page summary of our request, and I'm happy to answer any questions you have. City Manager Jeff Dahl is here as well. Thank you, Madam Chair, Senator Morrison, and committee members for your time today.
Thank you very much. Ms. Pollock, I note in the revenue estimate, where it says various projects, but it uses the phrase local jurisdictions, but aren't they all in the city of Wayzata? Well, I just saw that phrase, and in the summary, it says for construction materials for projects in various local jurisdictions. What does that mean?
Madam Chair, the summary refers to the statute providing a sales tax exemption for construction materials in various jurisdictions. So this bill would add the projects in the city of Wayzata.
Thank you very much. And Senator Morrison, this project has a cost of like $16.6 million. Is that correct? Or Mayor, is that correct?
That is correct.
And some of the elements of it have already been constructed. Is that why you're asking for Senator Morrison for retroactivity?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that is correct. We have, approximately a third of the financial impact is based on previous construction activities that we can, which is termed phase one of our project.
So when it says that it's anticipated that the project will start in spring of 2023, some of it's already started.
Phase one has been started and completed. We're looking to implement future phases.
So
and
go this back, but you're also looking to claw back the the refund from when would it have been? I'll have to look at the 2020, March 31st, is that correct?
Madam Chair, that's correct.
That's that's not unusual, Senator Morrison. Are there any questions or comments for Senator Morrison or her testifiers? Seeing none, Senator Morrison, thank you for bringing the bill today, and Senate File 1466 will be laid over for inclusion in the
Thank you for your consideration, Madam Chair and members.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I will point out to members as we take up the next one, and we're looking at a number of sales tax exemptions for local government projects. There are three approaches that have been suggested in dealing with granting tax relief for local projects from the sales tax, which, as you know, we with local governments are exempt, but the way in which that exemption is administered when the projects are done by contractors is to have the city pay for our request a refund. This year, we're trying to look at expanding consideration, and we're looking at three different ways of doing it that have been suggested in various bills. The governor's proposal is retroactive, just like we saw this Senator Morrison's bill, and is good for 2 years. So there's a huge cost in the first year because it goes back again and claws back from projects from earlier years, and then is available for any project that going forward, but just for 1 year. Senator May Quaid's bill is not retroactive, but it is ongoing. So it's a cost, I believe, some 35, Mr. Mon, 35 million? What is it? What's the cost? Ongoing.
Madam Chair, it's 36 and a half million in the first year, but that's only half a year, and then it's in the upper 70s to 80 million a year range.
So it, so her proposal has a tail to it, but it, the obligations going forward, but it represents kind of, you know, certainty for cities that are planning and undertaking these projects. And then the third one, the third way is what we're dealing with today, and that is, and this is how we've done it before, individual cities or jurisdictions come forward with a bill just for their project. And generally it's a one-year cost, just like Senator Morrison's bill was. And it is, so we're considering which way is the best way to approach this, granting this exemption. And I just want members to be aware of it, and I certainly would welcome your advice on which way is the best way to go about it this year. ongoing, 2 years, retroactive, or city by city by city. Okay. Next, we have Senator Farnsworth. Senate file 2686, Itasca County. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee, for the opportunity to discuss Senate file 2686 for Itasca County. The Itasca County Jail was mandated by the Department of Corrections to be replaced or closed. The county has met the obligation, and a new jail is currently being constructed and scheduled to be completed in the fourth quarter of 2024. Additionally, the courtrooms of the old courthouse to which the jail is attached are being remodeled and upgraded, including security measures. Itasca County is asking the legislature to pass Senate file 2686 to allow a rebate of sales taxes for the construction materials. There should be in your packet a fiscal chart pertaining to this request. And with your permission, Madam Chair, I have Itasca County Commissioner or Administrator Brett Skiles, I believe via Zoom.
thank you, Senator. Welcome to the committee. Mr. Skiles, would you identify yourself for the record? We're pleased to hear your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Brett Skiles. I am the Itasca County Administrator. And thank you for your time today. Appreciate the opportunity to present by Zoom. We woke up to freezing mist and a thin sheet of ice to be followed by some many inches of snow coming along. So I'm glad to be here via Zoom with you today. As Senator Farnsworth noted, after we received our Department of Corrections sunset letter, the county board embarked on a long information gathering session and time frame. What to build, where to build, and during that information gathering period, the courts certainly took their opportunity to let the board know of security and ADA deficiencies in our current court system and courtrooms. So the board decided at that time to rip the Band-Aid off and address all the issues at once. So we are building, along with our new justice center, a new jail, a new justice center, which includes new courtrooms, remodeled courtrooms, addressing all of our security and ADA concerns, and pleased to report that the courts and the judges are very happy with what the county is constructing. In your package, you have a kind of a fiscal note, as Senator Farnsworth noted. The first column is just all the companies. I wanted to provide plenty of detail for the committee to look at, all the companies that were the successful bidders. The next column includes the sales tax in the bids. And the last column is the jail-only portion. So as you may know, jails are already exempted from sales tax, so we can claim that rebate for jails. But as the chair noted, it's difficult to split out the other costs when bidding. So there already is legislation that approves sales tax exemptions, but it's very difficult, and so that's why there's some new language being proposed to separate out those bids. So the difference between the jail portion sales tax and the total sales tax is what we're requesting from this committee, approximately $466,000 in sales tax. Just to go over this fiscal note real quick, the pieces in red are all jail, so they're not part of the request. So Hunt Electric, NOAA Detention is the actual jail cells, and there's some other things here. There's a couple items in blue that are not jail at all, so they're, you know, not totally in this request. But our request is approximately $466,000 for sales tax exemption for the non-jail portions of our construction summary justice.
So on the revenue estimate, why is it ongoing for 3 years?
It's just a very large project. The total project is $75 million in scope. There was some demolition that had to take place. We purchased a few properties right next to our current courthouse facility. So it was nearly 7 months just for demolition. And then, it's just a very large project. It's almost 200,000 square feet in total. So it's just taking a great deal of time. It did start in June of 2021, and then expected our jail and courts should open January of 2024, but the rest of the remodel is not going to be completed until the end of 2024.
And the cost of the materials is $6.8 million, is that correct, then?
Approximately, yes.
Yep. Are there questions or comments for, I'm sorry, Mr. Skiles or Senator Farnsworth? Anyone? Okay. Thank you very much. Senator Farnsworth, and Senate File 2686 will be laid over.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You bet.
Thank you.
I neglected to say that actually there's a fourth way of looking at the sales tax proposals, and that is use one of the ongoing ones, either Mae Quaid, the governor, or the governor, and listing all the projects separately. That's been done before, so that if something comes up and we can't do an ongoing sales tax exemption, actually it's just a refund program, that we nevertheless do not neglect those individual bills that we just need to okay. So we'll probably follow that same pattern this session as well. Next, we have Senator Murphy, Senate File 1815. For the City of St. Paul. Welcome to the committee. If you would begin your testimony and presentation of your bill. This is not a sales tax exemption provision, but it certainly does deal with needs of the City of St. Paul. Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Thank you for making time in your agenda for this proposal from the City of St. Paul. I'm happy to be the author. Madam Chair and members, Senate File 1815 is a bill that would extend the City of St. Paul's ability to issue bonds for citywide capital improvement needs. This is an authority they already have in place. We'd like to extend it and raise it in order to invest in the City of St. Paul. John McCarthy, who is the finance director for the City of St. Paul, is here to testify in support of the bill, and he will provide more on the ground information for you. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee. If you'd identify yourself, we would be pleased to have your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Russ, committee members. I'm John McCarthy. I'm the finance director for the City of St. Paul, here this morning to testify in support of Senate File 1815. In 1971, the City of St. Paul was given the authority to issue capital improvement bonds or CIB bonds. That authority is set to expire in 2024, so Senate File 1815 would extend that authority out to 2035. It would also increase the cap that we're allowed to borrow annually from $20 million a year to $30 million a year. Since the law was enacted in 1971, it's been amended several times to extend the term and also to increase that cap. The cap was last increased to $20 million back in 2002, and it's been flat since then. In terms of how we use CIB bonds in St. Paul, it's the main tool that we use to finance improvements to city facilities, everything from rec centers, libraries, police and fire stations, neighborhood playgrounds, and parks and trails. We've used them for amenities that benefit the whole region, like the visitor center at Como Zoo, and key neighborhood investments like the Frogtown Community Center, and are currently using CIB bonds to build out the new parks on the Highland Bridge development. So in short, it's been a very important tool to build and maintain facilities for the city of St. Paul. I'd like to thank Senator Murphy for carrying this bill on behalf of the city, and thank you, committee members, for allowing me to testify in support of this morning. And with that, I'm happy to take any questions that you might have.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. McCarthy. Mr. Sylvia, a proposal like this goes into what otherwise would be a public finance article in the tax bill. Is that correct, or would it be a miscellaneous provision? How would it be characterized?
Madam Chair, members, this would be something that would typically appear in the public finance article.
The public finance article. Okay, other questions? Sarah Nelson?
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. My question, too, is just a little bit about how often this happens. I don't quite remember such a bill before, coming before the tax committee, asking to have their authority to issue bonds extended. And so maybe Mr. Sylvie or someone has a little bit of history on that, and then I'll have a question for Senator Murphy.
Well, Senator Nelson, we can ask Mr. Sylvie as well, but I think actually it's not that uncommon at all at a certain point where, and this is the first increase in that authority in 20 years, so I don't see that that's particularly alarming or anything, I guess. But Mr. Sylvia?
Madam Chair and members, I think it is common, certainly when specific cities were given statutory authority to levy, as did City of St. Paul in 1971. I'll note on the bill language itself, lines 1.6 to 1.10 show how many times, you know, over the years this particular authorization has been amended. You know, as the testifier indicated, 2002 was the last time the principal amount was increased, but I don't know that it's all that uncommon for, you know, a particular authorization like this to be amended over the years, certainly to increase the amount or at least to increase the duration of the authorization.
Thank you. Anyone else? Oh, Senator. Yeah. Senator Nelson, go ahead.
Thank you, and thanks for the history on that. I just didn't quite remember that piece in the public finance part. But my question for Senator Murphy, is it common, I should ask then, that if the current legislation expires in 2024, I assume that it's important that it pass this year just for continuity. And then I assume that 12 years is common. Typically, I'm thinking 10 years, 20 years when we're talking about bonding. But and maybe if that's not a question for you, maybe for our city bond historian, Mr. Sylvia.
Madam Chair,
Senator and Murphy,
Senator Nelson, to your first question, yes, I think it's important that we do it in this budget cycle, in part so the City of St. Paul has the certainty that they have this decision and they can use this tool going forward. I, like you, have not been here for the duration of since 1971. I have not been in the legislature since 1971. So don't know the history and the increments, but it appears to me that it is every 10 or so years that has been extended, and I think that's the pattern, and if you have anything more to add, I'd be grateful.
Mr. McCarthy?
Madam Chair, committee members, I think that's exactly right, Senator Murphy. Also, just having the kind of certainty, because we do multi-year capital planning, to know that this tool exists out into beyond 2024 helps us to plan our five-year capital plan. And if we don't have that certainty, it makes it much harder to plan for those multi-year projects, some of which take 2 to 3 years to build for large facilities.
Thank you. Mr. McCarthy or Senator Murphy, just curious, what typically kinds of projects, capital improvement projects, are supported, funded by this authority?
Madam Chair, we have used them for mostly neighborhood improvements. So we've done some kind of larger regional amenities, mostly at the Como Zoo and Como campus facility, but largely these are neighborhood rec centers, playgrounds, parks and trails, some street improvements, but mostly those kind of community facilities.
Thank you. I have another question. I'll come to you in a second. Mr. Sylvia, wasn't there a time when we had a proposal that, and I thought it was something like dealing with capital improvement bonds for counties, that I don't know the name of it, where it used to be they had to come and ask individually, for, like this one does, for an increase, and then we made it. It was a big public finance issue, and we made it then automatic, if with certain restrictions, or am I thinking of some other instrument?
Madam Chair, members, so cities and counties, you know, already have authorization under general law to issue capital improvement bonds. Some bonds are they relate to specific purposes and the requirements of which are different. Some require a vote of the voters. Some require a reverse referendum. Mm-hmm. There's also the general cap of, in this case, the city of the first class can't issue debt greater than 2% of its estimated market value. But for whatever reason, in 1971, the legislature granted the city of St. Paul this specific authority. But I don't believe that there's anything that would prevent the city from authorizing bonds under its general, Chapter 475 authorization that would apply to all cities, knowing that cap would still apply.
Yeah, I was just curious. Senator Weber.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question for the author or testifier. As it relates, and I recognize it's the city's, they're certainly allowed to do this, but has there been any estimate as to the effect on local property taxes with that type of an increase in the bonds issue?
Mr. McCarthy or Senator Murphy?
Madam Chair, committee members, the bill language in front of you would increase that cap. We don't have any specific plans to increase what we borrow annually at this time. I've been with the city for over 15 years, and we've always borrowed $11 million per year of CIB bonds. And so it kind of holds that impact on property taxes stable for our residents. We're asking to increase that cap now to allow for potential flexibility. We've seen, obviously, in the last few years, fluctuating interest rates, construction costs going up and down. We want that flexibility to say 1 year we may borrow more than our typical $11 million to capture those interest rate savings and then borrow less in a future year. So it's really to allow that flexibility, but we are very mindful of the impact that additional borrowing would have on taxpayers in St. Paul and intend to keep that level and stable for our taxpayers.
Thank you.
Senator Ripple.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think your question to Mr. Sylvia answered most of my question. It just seems odd to me that we even have this matter before us, given that St. Paul is a city of the first class, a home rule charter city. $30 million, A, doesn't seem like mm-hmm. a lot. B, seems like we hold them on a pretty short leash when we're limiting them to $30 million and only allowing them 10-year extensions. I'm not sure what business and interest it is of the state, but sounds like there's other kinds of debt financing that occurs at the City of St. Paul, and this is something different. I don't completely understand what this is, but I probably need to go to Home Rule Charter School, and maybe that's a conversation for state and local government. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Dimon, I really don't think it has anything to do with whether they're a chartered city or necessarily. The issues of public finance for local governments in terms of general authority do come to the tax committee for review, and that's why that this Senator Murphy's bill is before us. And in authority of this kind, they do not have independent authority. They need to come to the legislature.
That's precisely my question. I'm not sure why exactly, why we don't just set forth standards and parameters and guidelines, and then, you know, we invest a lot of power and authority in home rule charter cities for a reason. They're of course creatures of state law, but then they also have their own governing entity that is accountable by direct election. So just questions I have. I can take my own time and understand them better. Thanks.
Senator Murphy, were you here 50 years ago? Do you know why this happened? I suppose not.
I was not, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments for Senator Murphy or Mr. McCarthy? Seeing none, thank you very much, Senator Murphy. And Senate File 1815 will be laid over for inclusion in the tax bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for not quizzing me on presidential trivia. I appreciate it.
next, we have Senator Johnson. Senator? Senate File 2736, Senator Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Welcome.
Thank you, members. Thank you for the opportunity to present Senate File 2736 today. Senate File 2736 would allow Red Lake County District School District to have a sales tax exemption for materials, supplies, and equipment used for construction of a new school between December 31st, 2020 and January 1st, 2026 for those related costs in there. The bond was issued and passed by the voters for the new school district and the request for the refund of the sales tax on those construction costs. I have here with me, virtually today, Superintendent Jim Guter, who will testify in regards to the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Johnson. And this too is has a retroactive effective date. Just want to draw members' attention, excuse me, to that. And the effective date lines 1.18 and 19, so it's retroactive to January 1st of 2020, and then applies to sales and purchases from December 31st to, I would imagine, it's an expected end date for the project for the school.
Right.
During the year 2025, is that right?
I apologize, Chair. I'm looking at the bill, and it's January 1st, 2021, on the effective date. The retroactive is what I'm seeing.
No, I was talking. Yes, the retroactive date is that, but it's purchases made.
Oh, certainly.
After it's just, we use two different ways to apply to the same date. So it's. It applies retroactively, it's January 1st, but for purchases made like on January 1st and in sure. the future, and then until January 1st, 2026. And there is a revenue estimate in members' packets, and we are pleased to have your testifier. Let's see, Mr. Guter, If you'd identify yourself, please, for the record.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Tax Committee. I'm Jim Getter, Superintendent of Red Lake County Central School District. Red Lake County Central School District was created in 2013 as a consolidated school district, the former Oakley and Plummer School Districts. We are a rural school district in northwest Minnesota with great community support. From October 2020 to December 21, we developed a construction plan with a lot of community input. On February 8th of 2022, we passed the referendum election for $14.1 million with 61% support. From April to December of 22, we developed and designed and did bid specifications. However, our bids came in 34% over budget, or $3.6 million over budget. We had to reject all bids. Now we are finalizing details for rebidding coming up next week till April 13th, and are hopeful we will get acceptable pricing. The start date has now been moved to the fall of 2023, the earliest and best case scenario for us. The proposed sales tax exemption refund would provide our construction project with approximately $490,000, and that's on the high bid that we just received, so most likely less than that. To help meet the building project, our local voters supported when they approved the building referendum. The project is very important to the communities and school district, as the last new construction in the district was 45 years ago. This project provides for the future, yes, buildings, but more than just bricks and mortar. It also shows that the communities, schools, families, and students are worth investing in, because they will be here in the future. The sales tax exemption for Red Lake County Central would help us be able to fulfill the promises our school board members made in presenting these local construction projects and improvements to our communities, asking for their support in the building referendum election. The students, parents, and communities are now anxiously awaiting to see the facility improvements they voted to support, the educational facilities that will provide for this generation and the next. New science and STEM classrooms and labs, gym and locker rooms, restrooms, replacing an old 85-year-old building, better energy efficiencies, improved safety and technology, and enough space for 40-plus students earning 800 college credits online, leading to half of our senior class graduating with their AA degrees, while we still focus on relationships and responsibility. Thank you again for the opportunity to speak today with you and for allowing the Zoom presentation. It saves me over 10 hours in the car on not very good roads right now.
Sure. You know, Mr. Yoder, that's one of the positive benefits or lessons that we gained through our experiences through the pandemic of being able to accommodate Zoom technology and remote technology and have the full participation of everyone from all over the state without having to make a trip to the city, although we certainly welcome visitors to St. Paul and the metro area, but it's a real benefit to all of us. So, thank you very much. Any questions for Senator Johnson or Mr. Yoder? Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Not a question, just a commendation to graduate half of the seniors with a AA degree. This is the tax committee, but I'm just saying this is worthy of acclamation by all. That's a terrific accomplishment. I just couldn't let it go by without noting that.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Thank you very much, Senator Johnson, and Senate File 2736 is laid over for inclusion in the tax bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Yoder. Senator Dames. Senator Dames, you keep coming back. I think this is
your
third or fourth appearance before the tax committee.
Well, I appreciate your invitation. Thank you.
Yeah, welcome back. Senator Dames brings us Senate File 2530.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members, for hearing Senate File number 2530. 2530 is a bill that deals with sales tax on constructions. And we have construction going on, or will have, at the Red Rock Central School District and also at the Springfield School District. And Madam Chair, today I have Todd Lee, the superintendent of the Red Rock District, and Mr. Keith Kotke, the superintendent of the Springfield District. And if it's with your permission, Senator, Madam Chair, I'll turn it over to the testifiers.
certainly. Mr. Lee, would you like to explain the bill to us?
Yep.
What you're asking for and what the impact is.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And if you're thinking, does that guy look at all familiar? 21 years ago, I spent a summer campaigning in one of your House districts. So,
really?
with Mark Thompson, I don't know if you remember that.
Okay,
so.
Then you're especially welcome.
Yes. So,
but I'm not sure you didn't say what candidate. So I don't. We're going to be a little bit neutral here.
We spent a lot of time together. That's okay. So, yes. Thank you again, committee, for having me. And our district passed a referendum in 2021, and much like a neighboring district, Springfield as well. And unfortunately, that was sort of the peak of the worst possible timing as far as the inflation went. Our estimates were pre-inflation really taking off, and then, of course, our bids came in post. So in my district in particular, we were kind of forced, our bids came in even 30% higher than our revised estimates. And, you know, after we've done a number of budget cuts and value engineering, we're still about 11% over budget. So much like the prior testifier you heard, we are asking for that sales tax exemption. For my district in particular, it would be right around $1.1 million. So,
yeah. Sir, do you think that the cost of the project is now relatively stable, and the cost of materials is not going to increase more, how far is this project? Has building already been built?
So we're going to break ground next month.
Okay.
So yeah.
So your estimate of the cost of the materials relative to the sales tax refund is still tentative, or is it locked in?
Somewhat tentative. That's a 40%. Estimates kind of based on everything. So a little bit depends on what we complete. It would go no higher than even like a 60% estimate would be $1.5 million.
I see. Okay. Any questions for Mr. Lee? Then we'll hear from Mr. Kotke.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity to present. Similarly, actually, we're a little bit different because we did do the value engineering and went out and we've received bids, but we had to put items that are on our to-do list that we had in our referendum campaign and literature with our review and comment for MDE that we wanted delivered, but we just couldn't because we had to make choices and decisions. And I think, you know, some things that, you know, when you're working with local school districts and school boards, there's a very specific procedure we follow to get even something in front of the voters. And we have to go through a process of doing a site study and doing a best case or an analysis of what projects we think would benefit the school. And we have to go through a pretty specific review and comment and get approval and blessing from the MDE. So it's not like we can turn these projects around in real time. I mean, it's about a year at least when you go through a best guess estimate and then you try to go, or you do go to MDE with your proposal. They have to give you a thumbs up to go to the taxpayers. And if they don't give you a thumbs up, you have to get 60% of the taxpayers to approve it. So it's not like we can just turn these things around in real time. And so we have really been caught, I think, school districts in the 2021-2022 era really hit that inflation much higher. I think we're at 25% over what we were hoping for. And so we're looking for a sales tax exemption just to help us get to the other items on our to-do list, which would be renovating one of our locker rooms so it's ADA compliant. If you want to videotape the movie Hoosiers again, we've got the locker room for you. It's just like that. And narrow hallways, and we have kids that have more needs, and we need to have respectable spaces for that. And so that's one of the things that's on our to-do list, and some work within our fine arts and in our band room. So thank you for the opportunity, and if you have any questions, be willing to answer.
Sure. Senator Dames, so when I look at the language of the bill, it refers only to the Red Rock Central School District. But now we're also hearing from the Springfield Public Schools. I don't understand the relationship.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Both of them are included in the bill. The Red Rock Central is on the first site, and then the Springfield School District is on the back page.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. I should have turned it over, of course. Are there any questions or comments for Senator Dames? And thank you for putting them together, quite frankly.
thank you.
So that they're one bill. Anyone? No? Thank you, gentlemen, very much for joining us today.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. We truly do appreciate it.
Sure. Senator Dames, it's our pleasure. Senate File 2530 is laid over for inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Senator Kupek? We have before us Senate File 2177. And this is for the city of Moorhead. Welcome to the committee, if you'd present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, Senate File 2177 provide a sales tax exemption on construction materials to the city of Moorhead for its library and community center project. So we're looking to amend Minnesota Statute 2022, which does exempt sales tax on construction materials. So on the bill, on page 2, line 7, we're looking for a regional library and community center in the city of Moorhead. Materials, supplies, and equipment purchased after February 29th, 2024, and before April 1st, 2027 would be exempted from sales tax on those materials. The Library Community Center is a centerpiece of our new redevelopment downtown. The result of the development will be a more walkable, livable, and vibrant downtown that will make Moorhead an even better place to live than it is right now. Providing the sales tax exemption on construction materials in this bill is one small piece of helping the city deal with cost pressures related to construction inflation since the project went to a local option sales tax before. With me today, I provide additional information. I have Lisa Bode. She's the Government Affairs Director for the City of Moorhead.
Ms. Bode, if you identify yourself for the record.
Good morning, Chair Rest and members. My name is Lisa Bode. I serve as a governmental affairs director for the city of Moorhead. And thank you so much for hearing Senate File 2177. As Senator Kupek indicated, we are building a new regional library and community center as part of a downtown redevelopment that encompasses a 9-block area. This is one of the anchor projects, a public anchor within our downtown. Much of the remaining space will be private development, including housing and business development. And it's near our riverfront, and so we're really excited about the linkages to the city of Fargo and being a greater presence in the FM metro area. As you can imagine, the Library and Community Center project has been deeply impacted by inflation. Since 2021, our consultants estimate that construction costs have escalated more than 19.7%. The bill before you would provide our community with some relief from those cost pressures and help us make this project everything that our community members are seeking when they voted for it in November. We were approved for a local option sales tax in 2021, and we're pleased to report that the sales tax was approved with a vote of nearly 65%. You also may recall that Morehead was one of a number of cities that expressed concerns to this committee last year about the impact that inflation was having on our project. And this sales tax exemption request is one of the ways that we're trying to address that shortfall. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bode. I see, Senator Kupak, this is, this construction has not begun yet either, correct? It's not
going to
start until next year,
right?
About a year from now. So are all the plans and designs finished at this point so that the estimate that we see on the revenue estimate, are they, do you feel they're likely to be accurate going forward, or will we see you again?
I think we are accurate going forward, barring something crazy, I suppose, in our economy that throws inflation as a curveball. But I think we're in good shape right now.
Okay. Are there questions or comments for Senator Kupak or Ms. Bode? Seeing none, Senate filed, thank you very much, Senator Kupak, and Senate filed 2177 is laid over for inclusion in the omnibus tax bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Senator Green. We have Senate File 2718 before us. Senator Green, if you would explain your bill, and I see on the Zoom that we'll have two remote testifiers, and that you also have Mr. Simonson with you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for hearing Senate File 2718. 2718 would make it clear that the sales tax paid on materials as part of a construction of the new Beltrami County Jail between March 31st, 2024 and January 1st, 2028 would be refundable to the county. And the current law already exempts these costs for county correctional facilities from the state sales tax, but only if mandated by the state and federal law. Senate File 2718 would help lower the cost of this facility by approximately $1.9 million. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd like to introduce my testifiers. I have Beltrami County Administrator Tom Berry and Beltrami County Sheriff Jason Riggs.
Mr. Berry, we'll start with you, if that's all right. If you'd identify yourself for the record and present your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Tom Berry. I'm the Beltrami County Administrator, and I am so grateful for the opportunity to testify today. Like many of the speakers before us, we're grateful that we don't have to make the trip down on a very wintry day with icy roads and all. So this has been very well appreciated. I also want to thank Senator Green for carrying this bill as well. We're grateful to his leadership and support of our community. This Senate File 2718 bill would essentially allow the county to recoup sales taxes paid for construction and other expenses on the new Beltrami County Jail. Our facility was built in 1989 and has undergone a series of repairs, upgrades, expansions, remodels. Currently, due to its design, its age, its size, our increases in population here, as well as DOC regulatory changes, we have found ourselves in the need for developing a new facility. And so the county board several years ago committed to a long process where we have deliberately, through feasibility assessments and needs assessments and community surveys, identified the path forward, and that is to construct a 242-bed facility. And that facility is expected to break ground in the spring of next year, or summer of next year, we hope, rather. And as you can imagine, the costs associated with a project of this size, it's estimated to be about $80 million in total construction value, has sizable impacts to our community. We are the second poorest county in the state of Minnesota. We run a poverty rate of about 20%. So it's very important that we do everything we can to turn every stone and try to save our taxpayers as much money as we can. This Senate file will as has been mentioned, save us potentially $1.9 million of direct sales tax costs, but it actually has a broader impact because that's almost doubled when you consider that we're going to have to finance those costs if we were to bear them ourselves. So the net savings really to the project is more likely to approach $4 million for the county. And there are a number of ways that we would rather reinvest that $4 million. And the sheriff's here with your permission to speak on that.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee, Sheriff, if you'd identify yourself for the record.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. My name is Jason Riggs, and I'm the newly elected sheriff of Beltrami County.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I share our administrator's sentiments as well. I want to assure you and the committee that for the last 19 years that I've worked with Beltrami County, we've done a lot with very, very little. We are one of the poorest counties in the state of Minnesota, and these particular savings could be utilized towards programming in our jail as much needed. Our facility, when it was built, was not designed for programming back in those times. We would be looking at bringing in cultural, faith, evidence-based, you know, treatment. We've got a current program that we're in the process with our health provider called the Ember Program, and we're looking at bringing in children of incarcerated parents, and these finance savings from this would be crucial in helping us complete some of those programming needs. Thank you for your time, and I'll stand for any questions as well.
Thank you, Sheriff Riggs. Are there any comments or questions for Sheriff Riggs or Senator Green or Mr. Berry? Seeing none, thank you very much, Senator Green, and Senate File 2718 will be laid over for inclusion in the
Thank you.
Bill. You bet.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senate File 2545, Senator Young, Sean.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, Madam Chair and members. You and other members of this committee may recall authorizing the City of Oakdale to pursue a local sales tax to fund a new public safety facility as well as a new public works facility. Both critically needed projects for the city. The voters did approve both of those projects to be funded via local sales tax in the November general election. While the construction materials for the public safety facility are already exempted from the sales and use tax, the materials purchased through the bid process for the work public works facility are not. Senate File 2545 would allow the city to be reimbursed for state sales and use tax paid for materials purchased relative to this project between August 31st, 2023 and January 1st, 2027. And Madam Chair, I would like to turn it over to our very own Christina Volkers from the City of Oakdale for additional testimony.
Ms. Volkers, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. Good morning, Madam Chair, members. My name is Chris Volkers, City Administrator for the City of Oakdale. I'd like to express the full support of the City of Oakdale City Council and Administration with respect to Senate File 2545. Madam Chair, as you know very well, Oakdale is one of the few cities that did receive legislative approval for the local option sales tax in the 2021 omnibus tax bill around the same time as the pandemic. Construction estimates used to introduce our loss bill in 2021 have been dramatically impacted by inflation over the past few years. While we appreciate and are thankful for the current use and sales tax exemption for our new public works facilities, Senate File 2545 would offer much needed relief as we work to find a combination of solutions to our projected increases in construction materials and construction costs for our public works facility. If Senate File 2545 were to become law, We currently estimate the cost savings to the city would be between $660,000 and $745,000. That amount would of savings would be the step in the right, or a step, excuse me, in the right direction towards a viable solution. And we would greatly appreciate the support of the committee. I'd also note, in lieu of this bill, Oakdale is in full support of Senate File 1603, which would provide a broader exemption to local governments statewide with respect to contractor-purchased building materials. Thank you, Madam Chair and members, and I would stand for any questions.
Senator Zhang, I thought you said during your remarks that there was some costs that had previously not been exempted. Which costs will those be? The process, of course, is that the cost of those materials are exempted, but you realize that exemption through a refund process. But were you talking about something else?
The construction materials for the public safety facility are already exempted from sales and use tax, but the materials purchased through the bid process for the public works facility are not.
Well,
and so,
Ms. Polly, I don't understand.
Madam Chair, members, in current law, there is already an exemption for construction materials for correctional facilities, mm-hmm. if that facility is mandated by state or federal law.
I see.
And so there are some that would fall under the exemption. Others that were not, for which the facility was not mandated, would not fall under the existing exemption. And so new language would be needed.
So so you referenced correctional facilities, but this is a public works facility.
Madam Chair, the local sales tax that was authorized a couple of years ago was for a public safety facility and a public works facility.
Okay, I see. I understand now, okay. Senator Zhang. Thank you very much. Are there other questions or comments for Senator Zhang or his testifier? Seeing none, Senate File 2545 will be laid over. We are approaching the end of our, thank you very much, Senator, end of our agenda. Mr. Bergman, the schedule for Tuesday, so members can prepare if they like.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We're getting ready for next week, and for Tuesday, we're going to schedule Senator Klein's pass-through entity, also Senator Klein's senior property tax credit, Senator Putnam's beginning farmer credit, Senator Westrum's June accelerated sales tax on alcohol and tobacco, and you are a co-author on that bill, so that bill can be heard no matter what. And then we have your residential trust fund modifications of yours, Madam Chair, and the local election expense reimbursement account that is also your bill.
Right. Senator Weber, I think I had contacted you with regard to present Senator Westrum's correct. Bill in case he's still recuperating.
Very good, and we're fine with that.
Okay, fine. All right, there being no further business, the tax committee is adjourned for today.